here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. I'm Paul Dottino with Jeff Fiegels, live from the Quest Diagnostics Training Center in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Giants training camp enters day number six, but Jeff, no players today. According to the CBA, they've got to have a day off every once in a while, and today is that day. But nonetheless, we're here to talk Giants football with you for the next hour, 201-939-4513, and if you prefer to go to Twitter, it would be hashtag Giants chat. Well, Jeff, great to see you. And
thank
of course,
you, great to be back on Big Blue Kickoff. It's been a while.
Yeah, but, absolutely has been.
You know, it's been a while since the guys been on the field, other than 6 days ago when they started practicing. And yes, they do have to have a day off. Although the way that the CBA goes and looking at back in the day when I played way, way long ago, it looks like they have a day off every day out there. But well, you know, really, I mean, I can't complain. I mean, listen. I wasn't out there hitting like these guys, so that's wrong of me to say that. But the fact is that we are in 6 days into it, Paul, and there's still a lot to be talked about, a lot to be proven out of some of these guys, and that's what training camp's all about. It is a little bit weird being here, though, because I've always been so used to going on the road and when I was playing, and even now that I was retired in those first couple years after going up to Albany. So it is a transition, but I just if it was me, I wouldn't want to be in the building this much because I think that you spend enough time in this building once the season starts. Okay. That, you know, getting away was always nice, but because I always knew that when you went to training camp, it was the time to really bear down, and that's when you make the team is in training camp, and I didn't want any distractions. And the only distractions I had was people yelling my name or this and that, but other than that, there was nothing I had to worry about other than playing football.
Well, now, today, even though players are off, guys can come in on their own, Jeff. They can look at film.
Yeah.
They can goof with the playbook if they like. They can come in and deal with the medical staff for training purposes. And, in fact, we have seen a lot of players milling through the halls here today. The bottom line is, though, they can't go out on the practice field and do anything.
No.
That's why it's, quote, technically a day off. So, folks, if you are trying to come out to one of the free public practice sessions here at the facility, don't come out today. Usually the guys are out here about 2 o'clock. They get out there. They do a little special teams work, and they warm up. And then at 2:30 is when the actual practice begins, and it runs for approximately 2 hours. So we certainly invite you to come out either tomorrow, which is going to be the first full pads practice day, by the way, of training camp, Jeff. And Thursday will also be a full pads practice day. Then they'll also practice again on Friday and Saturday. Not in full pads, though. That gives you a little bit of an idea of what's coming up the next few days. If you folks want to make the trip out here to the parking lot and get a look at what the Giants are doing. Now, let me ask you. Again, I know it was different. You know, you played almost 24 seasons in the NFL, and they had two-a-days and all those kinds of things. What do you make of the day off? Is it something that you want to get away from football and not think about it much? I mean, the guys who need medical treatment are coming in for help anyway with the trainers. But I did notice a lot of the Giants milling around here. They're looking at film, and they're doing stuff on their own. They seem to want to keep their hand in the game.
Yeah, I think a lot of the younger guys that are around here, they're staying in a hotel. You know, those walls start to close in on you very quickly when you're in a hotel for even as long as they've been in now. It hasn't been much, but the facility is available over here, and the coaches probably told them. In fact, I know they told them that, hey, if you're behind on some of your study and we've got it all for you here in the building, you can come in, you can watch film, you can get treatments. You can get treatments even if you're not hurt, Paul. I mean, guys have to – it's called maintenance. You know, come in, get in the cold tub, get in the warm tub, get a massage, do something to help your body recover because tomorrow when they start to put those pads on and on Thursday and getting towards the meats of the practice, you want to have your body in shape and getting ready to do things. So I think if you're a veteran, you take this day as a rest day, and more importantly, because you're here in East Rutherford, your family is around here. You're probably, if you're married and you have kids, it's a good time to spend a little bit of time with them. And that kind of goes back to what I was saying, that, you know, when you went to training camp, there were no distractions. Even though you did miss your family, they have that opportunity to have to spend a little time with their families today. But for the most part, I think there's a lot of guys around here. There's free food here. As you and I both know, we had just had lunch.
Indeed we do.
And but, you know, that's a big thing. The guys can come in here and eat. But more importantly, it's just a day of rest and a mental day to get ready for the practices that are coming up tomorrow.
Right. Now, speaking of the guys who do get medical treatment, there were two guys yesterday who were involved in the injury report. Eric Flowers with a hip flexor. Tom Coughlin says he's day-to-day, so consequently he did not work yesterday. Coach said he actually suffered it a couple of days earlier, mm-hmm. tried to work through it. He did, and then yesterday morning they shut him down and didn't bring him out onto the field. Shockey Brown, veteran defensive back, near the end of practice, Tom said he tweaked his foot, did walk off under his own power, but we don't have any update for you this morning about those guys. But let's talk about Flowers for just a minute. First-round draft pick. Giants need production out of him immediately. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's the starting left tackle at this moment. First of all, explain to folks who don't understand what a hip flexor is, if you can, and how that can inhibit you, especially if you're a lineman.
Well, I know that because I've had them before, and kicking it's a nagging injury. It's one of those things where you got to get treatments on it, and the best thing for it is rest. The problem you have with the hip flexor is that it can creep back in at any time, and especially at a tackle position where they're always shuffling those feet and those hips on pass protection. And so they have to be very, very careful with him, and I know that they will be, but you don't want him to miss a lot of the reps, especially tomorrow when they go live one-on-one pass rushes, because that's where they're going to get the most contact, is in those individual one-on-one drills with the defensive linemen. During the team drills and moving around like that, it's still there, but they kind of cut the play a little bit short just to keep everybody healthy. But he's going to have to really work hard at getting that back. And in the meantime, the Giants are going to have to shuffle that offensive line around again. And I think that's kind of a work in progress. The coaching staff and Coach Coughlin are trying to get an idea of which guys can play which positions. And if anything did happen, like this injury, they know that this guy can be just slotted in here and there.
Jeff, we're going to get to the calls in just a second, but I do want to touch on this reshuffled offensive line. Yesterday at practice, they actually had the left tackle snaps split between Justin Pugh and Jeff Schwartz. Schwartz wound up moving over from the right side all the way over to left tackle and did some of that stuff. Pugh went out to left tackle for a little while. While those guys vacated their positions, you had John Jerry playing some right guard. You had Adam Geddes, who's a newcomer to this roster. Tom Coughlin said he thought he did a couple of nice things the other day, so we'd give him more of a chance to show some practice reps yesterday. So he was in a little bit at left guard when Pugh was outside. And then Brandon Mosley also wound up taking some snaps over at the right tackle spot as well. So all of these guys getting valuable chances to show the coach during practice something that they can do that they probably wouldn't have otherwise had that chance to do.
And experience and getting reps at it, because you don't want to have to get in a situation where if you haven't done anything in practice and then they actually just put you in there. When you talk about offensive lineman position, they all know what everybody's assignments are going into the play anyways, because when you got guys next to you and just the way the plays are designed. But it's the difference when you actually have to go play a different position and know how to play that position on that certain play. And I think you're going to see that with a lot of these guys moving to the here and here. It's just a matter of them getting reps. And the coaches, like you said, Paul, is to be able to see if they can handle the assignments, the mental assignments, and then execute the play at that position. And I think that's what you're seeing now with Schwartz and Pugh playing that left tackle position. Both of them have played it before, so it's not anything new to them. But I think, you know, you mentioned John Jerry at right guard. He's got experience with that.
Sure.
And then the young guys that are just getting a chance at the end of practice to be able to be put in there and show the coaches that they can do the assignment. And I think the biggest thing, Paul, is because there isn't so much contact out there in practice, it's
right.
More of the mental,
sure.
The mental aspect of the play and technique. That's what they're looking at, and the execution of the play, and that's what comes to mind when they're evaluating these guys after practice.
All right, so it's hashtag Giants Chat. If you'd like to hit us up on Twitter, we'll check on those in just a bit. But first, we'd like to go to the phone calls, and it's 201-939-4513. Alex from Los Angeles, you're first on the program. Hello.
Hi, I called earlier. I have two questions today.
Okay. How you doing, Alex?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, buddy. How's the weather out there in California today? Probably nice and, you know, a little nice and cool.
Yeah.
We got a little fog in there.
Yeah.
What can we do for you, man? What's your question?
So I have two. First of all, I've been hearing from, like, on the app and just lots of people about Victor Cruz. He says he's 93%. Is the plan for him to be 99% healthy and be ready to go for week one in Dallas?
Well, I think the plan is to be 100%, but I would take 99%, wouldn't you? I would, Alex. But yeah, and you know what? They're doing the best they can. He's doing the best he can. They're being very, very careful. I know that as when you're coming off of an injury, you're a little hesitant to do things, and I think that Victor is one of those guys. Well, you know, he's a smart guy. He's going to understand what he can and what he cannot do.
Mm-hmm. And also, on my second question, I was thinking about going up to New York on the 16th for a day of training camp, and it starts at 5:30, so I'm just wondering, like, what time should I get to the training center at, and, like, when does practice end and the autograph start?
Are you going to fly into Newark or LaGuardia? That's going to determine what time you're going to get there.
Well, I'm not really sure yet. Okay. I think we may go to JFK, which is pretty far, so I'm not sure. I'm flying back on Sunday night, but...
Well, the practice starts at 5:30, Paul, so what do you think, about 5 o'clock, get out of here? 4:30?
Yeah, you know what? If you can get out to the facility about a half hour to 45 minutes ahead of the prescribed scheduled practice time, you'll get a good seat in the bleachers. You know, they do fill up mm-hmm. as it gets closer, but if you get out here that early, you'll definitely get the picks of where you're going to be able to sit down. Practice usually runs about 2 hours, and then afterwards they have the autograph sessions. So, you know, enjoy. Have a great time.
Yeah, have a good trip, Alex.
Okay.
Good luck, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you. How long are autographs? That's just my last question. How long would, like, autographs take if you're just, you know, waiting?
Probably
a
half hour.
At least get, like, a
They're probably out there about a half hour.
Yeah, now, Dave, okay. I want to just before you go, I'm getting a message here from Dave, our producer. Am I reading this right? The autographs on the 16th will be the fullback, which will be Hanoski and some of the other guys trying out, the tight ends, the punter, Weatherford, and the backup.
Malone.
Yeah, Malone. The kicker, which, of course, is going to be Josh Brown, and wide receivers. Mm-hmm. So those are the guys. So that's cool. And, of course, that's always subject to change. You know, sometimes the positions have other things to do, but that's who's supposed to be there.
Okay, and it's kids 12 and under, right, for
yes.
the autograph?
Yes.
How old are you, Alex? Are you in that category, buddy?
Yes, I'm 12.
All right.
That's great.
So it's last year.
Good for you, Alex. Thank you so much for calling. Have a great trip. Line two is Jeff from New Hampshire. He'd like to talk about defense. Hello.
Hey, how we doing?
Hey, Jeff.
Hi.
Yeah, so I just wanted to kind of comment a little bit and then leave you with a thought or a name that maybe you guys could see what you think about. A lot of the show, you guys are talking about Kennard, and I think it sounds like a lot of the fans, or maybe even media people, are always speculating about moving Kennard to defensive end or moving Kennard to middle linebacker. Leave the kid alone. Let him play one position. Let him get good at it. He's not big enough to be a defensive end. Just because he got 5.5 sacks.
Well, okay,
Who's got him moved to defensive end and middle linebacker?
I just hear random fans throwing that out there.
Here's what I'll tell you. I have said to people that at some point, if the Giants were to lose John Beeson, or maybe in the future, that I think Kennard would be a consideration to move into the middle. That's as far as I've gone with it. I've never said anything about defensive end. And may I tell you that during camp so far, McClain has been the backup middle linebacker, and they've left Kennard strictly at the outside spot.
But you are going to see Kennard at that defensive, you know, not defensive end position, but he's going to be down in the line of scrimmage, you know, most likely not with his hand in the dirt. But because he played all those positions in college in the Spagnuolo's defensive system and schemes, you're going to see him down in there. So watch out for that.
On blitzes or whatever, I just don't think switching positions. He's a young player. I just want to see him get really good at one position. He can blitz, and maybe a couple of years from now be in consideration for middle linebacker.
Right.
But I McClain should be the number two middle linebacker. He's more experienced, and we can leave Kennard in a position where he's better suited. It looks like he's better suited for the outside. I hear it's fans. It's not you guys. It's just fans throwing these ideas out.
Okay.
I want to see him play one position and get really good at it.
I think he will.
Linebacker for a while, and I think he's got the chance to be that if he can get really good at one position. I saw a name the other day, not Giants related, but Seattle cut a defensive tackle. I guess McDaniel.
Yes.
And I know everybody, the Giants will take the we're going to look at all the players idea. The name jumped out to me because obviously we were really bad against the run last year. McDaniel, from what I read about him, that's his strength is against the run. You know, he's not the guy you heard about most in Seattle because, I mean, look who they have on their defense. They cut him to make cap space because look at all the contracts they gave everybody. He might be somebody that I would certainly be interested in. I mean, I know we signed Ellis and all that other stuff, but another reason I really like him is I like bringing these players in from a team like Seattle, somebody that's coming from a winning locker room, a winning tradition. I don't want to bring the guys in from the Raiders and the Browns. We get these free agents that are coming from winning traditions that expect to win, good teams, good programs, that type of thing. There's two good reasons. I'd be really interested in looking. I don't know what he's looking at for a contract. I don't know what we have for money, any of that.
I have a feeling that he'll be back with the Seahawks at a reduced contract. And you know, that's a lot of times that's what happens to these guys. You know, they get cut with the notion of knowing that they're going to be able to come back on a reduced contract. And so we'll see. But you know, it's certainly an opportunity to get a veteran guy out there. And he played a lot of games for the Seahawks. And I like what you said about him coming from a winning organization. That makes all the world of a difference for guys that come in and they get it. You know what I'm saying? And I think that they understand about winning. They understand about what you got to do to win and how you got to be in the locker room and what's expected of you when you come from some of these other organizations that just don't get it. There's a reason why they don't win. And a lot of times those guys get lost in the shuffle and then they come in and they got to learn about winning. And it's always nice to have somebody to come in that has that pedigree with them.
Yeah, I didn't know it would be an option for them to bring him back. That may be true, but, yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, from what I read, he started all 16 games the last two seasons, and
yep.
You're good enough to start all 16 games on the best defense in the league that's been to the last two Super Bowls. I'd say you're pretty good.
I think they tried to when you see something happen like that, a lot of times they try to trade a guy, and there was no offer, so then they ended up having to cut him. But when they cut him, they had probably an agreement with him before, like, listen, you know, you just understand the situation here. We want you back. We understand you're a free agent now. If you go somewhere else, that's great. But, you know, we want to have you back at this price. And most likely he'll probably be back with them.
But if he's cut, anybody could make him an offer, right?
Yeah,
because
he's
fair
yeah.
game.
Yep,
sure.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jeff.
Interesting. Thanks.
Have a good day.
Appreciate it. And, of course, the other part of that equation, Jeff, is that when a player gets cut in that situation, if he's happy with where he was, chances are he'll sit home for a day or two, and if he doesn't get claimed or signed with anybody else, he'll say to himself, look, I like being there. I liked winning. I love the coach. I love the organization. I love the scheme and everything. And he starts swallowing some numbers, and then he winds up going back.
Yeah, I mean, he can sit out for a little bit just to test the waters, but he knows the system, and absolutely. He did not get cut because they don't like him.
No, Pete Carroll was effusive, saying, I felt bad. I didn't want to cut him.
It was a product of the system, and that's what happens to these guys. And unfortunately, there's always there's one guy that's out, and he was the scapegoat. If I don't know if that's the word, but the fact is that he has to.
The sacrificial lamb.
The sacrificial lamb for those other guys making all that money.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, dude.
Yeah, appreciate it there, Russell.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go to the next line. Number three, it's Andrew from Pennsylvania. You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hi, Andrew.
Hey, guys. How you doing? It's good to talk to the Coffin Corner Kick Master, Jeff Siegel.
Well, it's great to be here to talk to you. Sound like Steve Summers.
But, I heard you guys touch on the offensive line in the beginning. I want to touch on that and then jump to something else real quick. But who did you say, because I know mostly Pugh got kicked out to left tackle. Who is playing left guard for the majority?
Well, they had Geddes in there, who's a new fella to training camp this season. He was in there for a bunch of snaps. In fact, you know, the funny part about it is when – we first noticed at practice yesterday that Flowers wasn't in there. The big question was right away, well, what's going to happen at tackle? But that had a domino effect because now when you start moving, right, when you start moving Pugh or Schwartz out there, now all of a sudden somebody else got to play guard. And Geddes was the one that caught us all by surprise as we were watching from the sidelines. It's like, well, wait a minute. Why is he in there? Where'd that come from? But Coach did explain to us, as I mentioned before, after practice, that he thought Geddes had taken a couple of nice reps earlier in the week and felt like he wanted to get him some more.
And Geddes, he's a second-year player, so he's not a rookie. He's got some experience. You know, Bobby Hart was another guy they could put in there at guard on. Does he play left guard, Paul?
No, he's more of a right.
More of a right guard.
Yeah.
So, we're still, by the way, I'm going to apologize for, we're still trying to figure out all these positions. Those guys that are here on a part-time basis, but the guard position obviously is Pugh's he's going to be that left guard, and we're going to try to figure out who else can play. That's kind of why they're doing what they're doing and putting some guys in there. And Geddes is one of those guys. He's a big dude from Iowa. They grow them big up there.
Oh boy, corn fed.
Yeah,
former fifth round pick of the Redskins, with the Redskins, and then last year was with the Steelers on the practice squad. And now with the Giants, in fact, signed in December at the end of last season. So, that's where we're at. And you know what? If he does some nice things in practice, then that means he'll get a better chance to get some looks during the games in the preseason.
Well, that's what it's all about. All you want is an opportunity. If you're a guy that's been on the street and gets signed by a team, just give me an opportunity. And by God, you better take advantage of that opportunity when it happens. And I say it all the time, Paul, and you hear me say this, a lot of times it's not about so much the talent of the individual. It's the guy that can figure out how to play mentally and not make mistakes. Because if I'm a coach in the National Football League, you could have all the talent in the world, but I am not going to have you play that position if you're going to make mental errors and screw up the play. You will not be in there. I promise you.
That's it.
Yeah, I'm almost going to look at this as a blessing in disguise, trying to be optimistic here, because you hope it wouldn't happen, but we're not talking about quarterbacks here. There's always going to be an O-lineman who's going to miss a game or two here or there,
It
looks like if it happens in the preseason or minicamp, whatever we're in, we could start getting a feel for it now because it's almost inevitable. But just on another note, how is Tremaine McBride looking? Does he – I know in just your opinion, but not the coach's opinion – does he look like he's the number one consideration for the slot?
Well, it's funny because Steve Spagnuolo told us in minicamp he's going to look at all of those DBs as much as he possibly can because he doesn't want to go in with any preconceived notions. Remember, he came from Baltimore in the offseason, and he told us flat out – I've seen some tape, but I really don't know enough about these guys to make a decision or to tell you that someone's going to have a lead over somebody else other than DRC and Prince. We know that they're the starting corners.
Yeah.
But he made very clear to all of us that everything else is wide open behind the first two guys. Now, Josh Gordy played a bunch of reps the other day with the starters as the slot guy. We've also seen McBride do some of that. At this point, I can't tell you who's winning because it's a small sample size, and everybody's been rotating in with the ones and the twos and the threes. So there's no clear-cut advantage that's been established as of today. So I would tell you this. Watch the preseason games closely, beginning with Cincinnati in another week and a half, and that will give you a better idea of what's going on.
But I think if we go from a little bit of a sampling of what he did last year, I thought that he had some good games. He played well. If you have to tip your hat a little bit towards him, I would.
Well, before he got hurt.
But before he got hurt, that's what I'm saying.
Think, 2 years ago, he was really good.
Absolutely. So I think that in their mind, they want to maybe see him as that guy, and we'll see what happens. Like Paul said, it's just all about competition, and Coach Spags is going to get the best guys out there. Trust me.
Andrew, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks,
we'll also mention, by the way, a guy who by trade was a cornerback at Notre Dame is Bennett Jackson.
Yeah, well.
And he has been looking really good so far during the first few days of camp as a converted safety. And talking to DB coach David Merritt yesterday, who's in charge of the safeties here, he was saying the versatility of Jackson really makes him valuable because they could maybe play him as the third safety or if he wins the starting job as a starting safety. But then in certain packages, he might be able to be the slot guy. I mean, he's got corner skills.
Yeah. Yeah. And you see it not all the time, but there's guys that change positions and then there's a learning curve of it. So, it always goes back to my point about being a smart football player. He's a kid come from Notre Dame. He's got some mental capacity there. He's a smart kid. But then you have to carry it over to on the field. And it seems to me that he's done that very well. And that's what I think that David Merritt and the coaching staff are so impressed with, is that he can go from being a cornerback to a safety. And it helps him because he's been in that situations as far as in the backfield, and he can see things a little bit better. Where corner, you're kind of out on an island a little bit. So his skill set is kind of rising to the top. And I think that, again, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. I mean, obviously there's mistakes being made, but not a lot of them. And I think that's what the coaches are liking about him. And, you know, we're going to see a lot of him in preseason. They're going to put a lot of reps in that safety position. And, of course, we'll get into that, I'm sure, at some point in time about that whole position from the safeties, is who's going to be the guy and who's going to start.
And I put up on my Twitter the other day, I think so much of us are focused on Victor Cruz's comeback from the patella tendon surgery. And look, it's miraculous. Believe me, he's the Tommy John of the NFL right now, being able to do what he's doing after this very, very difficult surgery that he had. But don't sleep on Bennett Jackson, who to me has been flying under the radar, but he's coming back from microfracture knee surgery. And Jeff, he looks like a deer running around out there. He looks dynamite. I don't think he's lost a step.
Well, it's just everybody's different. And I think when you talk about Victor Cruz and that kind of a guy coming back from injury like that, everybody's different. There's guys that you think that would come back quickly and they don't. It's just all in their DNA, and it's remarkable to see those guys, and it's a compliment to their training and how they have worked hard to get back in and play football. It really is.
Okay, it's hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Also, it's 201-939-4513 if you'd like to give us a phone call. We're here for another half hour at the Giants facility, the Quest Diagnostics Training Center in East Rutherford. Paul Dottino and Jeff Fiegel's with you, and Vic from Florida, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Buongiorno Paolo, come stai oggi?
Good to talk to you. How you doing?
Good afternoon, Jeff.
Hello.
Listen, a couple of things I want to ask. Is the Jake Long issue still hanging on or not?
You know what? All we know is what we hear around here, and the fact that he was in here for a couple tryouts. You know, that other than that, it's really nothing has been discussed or anything that we've heard about it. I think that the Giants are always looking at options just because of what we saw happen yesterday. And that's with Eric Flowers getting hurt. And if something happens, they got to have their A list of people that they want to be able to call on if they need.
And he's not signed yet.
No.
Which means he's still a possibility until he signs somewhere.
Right, right. But, I mean, that's what happens. The organization is always trying out guys and taking a look at people just so they have their A list in case there's an injury at a certain position or a guy's not producing like they like to. And if he's still around and they've worked him out and they've talked to him and they've put him through the medical test, then you know, maybe they make a move down the line or what so.
That's great. Now, the other thing I want to ask is that I understand that Jerry Reese had a talk with JPP yesterday. Anything came out of that?
Well,
Sunday, actually, he spoke with him. We were told yesterday by John Mara and also Tom Coughlin and Jerry Reese that on Sunday, Jerry had a conversation on the phone with JPP, but Jerry's comment to us was, it's going to remain private and I'm not going to talk about it. So I have nothing more to add to that other than there's been contact, and Tom Coughlin himself said, hey, that's great. I'm glad that Jerry and him talked. Maybe next time I can get on the phone too.
Sure, and he also alluded to the fact that it was a positive conversation. So
yes,
and everybody's Giants fans around in their mind, they should be thinking, hey, this is a step, and maybe that now that they've kind of cleared the air a little bit, and maybe they're talking about return. I don't know, but that's like Jerry said, it's between them, and that'll be information that we get at when they determine that we need to get it.
Yes, sir. Is that all, Vic?
Thank you, Vic.
Appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Andrew, you are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
JPP, he cannot give the Giants the finger because he blew his finger off. So I would say, to give him the figurative finger, I don't like that he locked the team out. Like Plexico, when he shot himself in the leg, he didn't then lock out the team and not communicate. So the fact that he didn't communicate with the team and it was so difficult, I would trade him and get what they can for him. They won a Super Bowl without Plexico Burress, so I would move forward and see if whatever you could get.
We won one
with
him.
What are your thoughts on trading? I would trade him because of the way he's treating the organization.
Andrew, I appreciate the phone call. The only thing I will say is that it's been made very clear by everybody in this Giants organization. Their first priority is about JPP and his medical care and what's going on with his hand. That's the point at hand right now. It's not about what's going to happen with his contract, how much money they got to pay him, what the future holds. It's about the well-being of the guy.
Let me tell you something. I played for the Giants for 7 years, okay? I'll just add a little bit on this. And from the medical standpoint, and I had my issues with my knee. I had my issues with psoriatic arthritis, which was undiagnosed for many years while I was here, just because finally there was something that we needed to have tested. This organization will do everything they can for the better of the player. Trust me. I had the best care. I had the best doctors, and they were able to help me be able to play 4 more years after I semi-retired in 2005. So I'm telling you right now that, you know, anything that JPP, as far as medical goes, he'll get it here. So all the talks about, well, he's not going to do this or that, I promise you the best interest is for the Giant organization. They wanted the best thing for JPP, and that's what we all want. And so when you hear them say that, they're not blowing smoke. That is exactly what their intent is, and most importantly, to get him healthy and get him back if that's the way it will be.
Every player who's ever played here will tell you exactly the same thing.
There's no question about it.
Frank from Tampa, you are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
What's up, Frank?
Hello.
Good afternoon, Jeff. It's so good to speak with you again.
Thank you.
I had the honor last year, and it's just such a wonderful thing that you've been able to stay with the organization. You're a true Giant, always will be, and we've always loved you.
I enjoy being around. I enjoy speaking to the fans. It's great to be back on Big Blue Kickoff with my man, Paulie D, here. So it's all good.
Well, it's great to have you.
Thank you.
And just a quick comment about Paul. You know, I think you're exactly right, you know, from the Giants' standpoint. You know, the welfare of the player is important, and I believe everything that, you know, everyone from Mr. Mara on down has said. It just would be nice to see just a little bit of reciprocity on the part of the player, you know, and that's, you know, I'll just kind of leave it at that. But, you know, and that the welfare of the organization was somewhere near paramount in his mind as well. But moving on from there, two things. Bennett Jackson. Does he have the size and or the tackling ability to play that position? I know most corners are not known, you know, for their tackling, and I'd like your opinion on that.
They like not only his football acumen, but they like his athleticism and his physical toughness. That is not a question at all. In fact, that's one of the reasons why, Jeff, they even considered making him a safety, because they think he can hit.
Yeah, because they seem to think that they were maybe wasting that type of a player at that position, not having to make as many tackles and things like that. So, you know, they put him at that free safety position and being able to move him around and make tackles. He certainly, like Paul said, he's come back from his injury showing great speed and being able to close in on footballs and make catch. He's a very good athlete. So I think that's one of the reasons why they did move him there, because of all the things that we just said.
Oh, that's good, because on paper he does seem a little small for a safety. Is that true?
I just saw him, I think that it's amazing to me when you look at some of these cornerbacks, how they can tackle. Those guys know how to tackle. I mean, they're never having to make that, you know, run up into the middle like a middle linebacker from that position. But I mean, they know how to tackle, and it's amazing to me how these guys can do it. But I just saw him in the cafeteria. And he does seem a little bit undersized, but I think his skill set and his acumen, like Paul said, makes
and
up
desire.
For that. And desire, yeah. He does have a great motor.
And well, Frank, remember, I know I'm going back a ways, but Spider Lockhart was one heck of a tackler at the safety spot with this team.
He sure was, and he came by that name Spider, honestly, too.
Because he was wiry as could be. Indeed, Frank. Thank you so much.
Oh, hey, Paul, can I one more thing?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I like your opinion also on the Jones signing. You know, do you guys believe you know, the fact that he's been out there? He wasn't a recent cut by a team, and he's been out there, you know, to be able to be signed by anybody. You know, do you believe? And I know it might be hard to comment on this, but do you believe that might be a reflection on what they've seen, or, you know, better yet, haven't seen of Harris as a wide receiver? You know, I know they brought him in with the idea, at least in his mind, that he was going to be able to compete for a spot. But do you guys believe that that test has been, you know, has been failed, and maybe that's why they, you know, they needed him? Because it's kind of strange that he's been out there and, you know, wasn't a recent cut.
Frank, let me address Harris, and then I want Jeff to address Jones. So we're going to let you go. Thank you for the call. Hold on to your site and on the Internet and listen in. Dwayne Harris has actually looked fine as a receiver, and the Giants believe that he is a capable receiver in this league. He's made some very nice catches at practice as well. So that's not the issue here. The issue is they had an opportunity to sign a guy, Jeff, and let's make this very clear. To sign a guy, there has to be reciprocal interest. The guy has to want to sign. And James Jones explained to us that he had gotten offers from teams earlier in the spring, but he was looking to go somewhere where he didn't have to learn a new system. He's 31 years old. He said, hey, I want to go somewhere where I know what they're going to run, where I don't have to learn everything from scratch again. And obviously Coach McAdoo and his 7 years in Green Bay, that is Jones, played into that. And that's why he decided to come here. It's not a knock on him that he was out there. So if you can, Jeff, just explain the mentality of a veteran free agent as the offseason progresses, the line of thinking he must go through as he decides when and where he's going to play.
Well, I think at the juncture that he was in, obviously he was not going to get a major contract for some team. So every team was going to pay him the same amount. And that's going to be that minimum salary, most likely. I don't know what he got.
No one's indicated what his deal is.
But I'm guessing that it's a minimum salary for a veteran, which is still, you know, is no chump change. The second part is that familiarity. Absolutely. Why, you know, if I'm going to go somewhere where I know that I have an opportunity to compete and in a system that I know, I already have an advantage there rather than going somewhere else that I got to learn a system. I mean, he's a guy that's been in the league for a long time. A lot of these systems are the same, but this one is just it's smack dab right what he's used to. And the third one is that I think the Giants have to understand that he's a veteran. He's a guy that if there are injuries to any of these positions or any of these guys do not work out, the fact is that he knows the system. He's on probably a minimum salary, and the fact that he is a veteran, they can punch him into any one of those situations. If I'm a guy like him, I'm sitting on the outside going, you know what, this is a perfect opportunity for me to go to the New York Giants, and I think that's why he's here.
Quite honestly, just meeting him, and I don't know if you've had the chance to yet, he's a pro's pro.
No question.
I mean, wow.
Yeah, listen.
He blows you away.
Well, there's a reason why guys stay in the league so long. Like I said, even though they have great talent, they have great minds, and they're able to – they understand, they get it. And they're a team player, and they're a good locker room guy, and they're guys that, you know, that they don't miss games because they're stupid. So those are the kind of guys and character that the Giants organization likes to bring in, and I think they got a good one in this guy, and certainly in an insurance policy if some of these other guys get hurt.
You know, it's funny. The other day, you remember now, again, with the Raiders last year, caught 73 balls for under 10 yards a catch. So a lot of people thought, well, now he's just a possession guy. Maybe he can't go deep. So what does he do the other day of practice? Gets here, and in his second practice, he runs a 50-yard go route down the left sideline, out jumps and out physicals Prince Amukamara for the football to make
the
catch.
He's a big guy now. He's a big receiver. And I'm sure that while Eli Manning and him were having those little individual meetings, he probably said to him, hey, is there any way I can get a go route out of you, Eli, just to show these guys? And that's probably worked out well. So, but, you know, I think that the team has to be, you know, I think it's a great move. I think he wanted to come here. Him and this relationship with Coach McAdoo, it all makes sense, Paul. It really does.
When the Giants go four wide, okay, and you've got Randall, Cruz, Beckham, Jones, Vereen coming out of the backfield. Holy smokes.
Well, you got to pick your poison. So one of those guys is going to be.
Wow.
And they're probably going to, you know, he'll probably be maybe the third or fourth guy that they're thinking, we don't have to cover this guy. We got to cover these two. We know which two I'm talking about.
And think about how productive that will help make him, because now maybe with Oakland, and I didn't watch enough Oakland games to tell you who was covering who, but now if he's getting the third or fourth defensive back on another team,
yeah,
he's going to get open.
Absolutely. And then don't, you know, listen, I think we talked a little bit about this last year. Coming into this season, when Victor Cruz is healthy and Beckham is on the field, number 82 is going to have a great opportunity to have some good statistics and catch the football for this Giants team, and that's Reuben Randle. I mean, he had a nice season at the end of the season last year. I think he's maturing as a player. I think he's understanding what's expected of him. And the fact that him coming into a season in 2015 with the two guys that I just mentioned, both healthy and being able to play, They can't cover all three of those guys. So look for Ruben Randle to have a nice season. And this is a contract year for him.
Yes,
right?
It is.
Yeah, so that's a little more incentive for him.
We got to go with a few tweets here before we get back to the phone calls. Want to catch up on what you guys have been telling us on the internet. We got Nikki C. who wants to ask Jeff who wins in a fight between you and Weatherford.
Please. First of all, Steve would have – he wouldn't fight me. I know that.
No.
No, he wouldn't. He tells me how much respect he has for me all the time. So, and I wouldn't want to get in a fight with him either. So,
all right. We have Easy who wants to know about Mosley getting into the lineup and at what position. Again, he had the opportunity during the course of camp. He's done little guard and little tackle. And that's what they – look, versatility is going to be key for any of the backups. They have to be able to do it.
Look at his versatility. He played some games last year. So, I mean, he's one of those linemen that he can play all the positions, and they're, you know, he's kind of like a rover. He'll just move around and make the best of it.
All right, let's see what else here. We have Shane Avilez says, I like McBride. He made plays when he was in there. That was 2 years ago. He was a terrific corner. James Tipper says, October 4th, 2015, Corey Washington, 2 touchdowns, 110 yards against Dallas. Okay. Says against New Orleans, Corey was let go by Giants in offseason. Think about it. I'm not sure I totally understand what that means, but clearly he's a Washington fan and expects him to have a big game week one. I don't get the second part of what he's saying, but let's go through another one here. Joe says, not sure if you talked about Nat Burhe yet, but has he done significant work with the first team? Again, folks, the Giants have been rotating.
Yeah,
all
no,
of those
no
guys at safety.
First team at safety right now.
Other than Collins, who you kind of believe he's going to be the starter, you know, but even he's had to rotate out.
Yeah, because they got, you know, listen, they're just not going to anoint somebody at that position, especially a rookie. And so, and these other guys are young too. It's just somebody's going to have to step up and get that position. And, you know, when you look at Collins, the program he came from,
Bama.
The fact that the Giants moved up to get him tells you something. And the thing about it is that the conference that he played in, that is, if we all want to call it this, I do. I think it's that is the minor leagues of college football, is that SEC conference.
Also known as NFL Light.
Exactly. So I think that he has the pedigree to play. So, yeah, you tip your hat in a little ways that that's probably who's going to be the starter. But I think that in Spagnuolo's defense, you've got to be able to understand what the heck you're doing back there, and we'll see how he converts it into, you know, the mental aspect of being the safety, the starting safety.
Shea Stewart says JPP comes back with 10-plus sacks.
Well, I'll tell you what, if that happens, man, I'll tell you what, all of us will be happy. And I know, in fact, forget about the 10 sacks. How about just him coming back just to start off with? I think
that'd
that's
be great.
The first part you start with, and then if you get the 10 sacks, then we're talking.
All right, 201-939-4513 if you'd like to get in. Christian from New York, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, guys.
How you doing,
Hi. Christian?
Well, before I get to my point, I just wanted to say that it really is important to have a good punter on your team. So
darn right it is.
We all appreciate what you did, Jeff.
Thank you.
It was awesome.
Hey, Christian, thank you so much. And you know what? I agree with you. It's important. And a lot of people don't understand that the punter is on a defensive position. They're on the defense. And, you know, as long as I played, I always had really good defensive coordinators, and they really liked me because I like to put that ball down in there. They used to say to me all the time, listen, you can be on my team any day. So I appreciate that, Christian. What can we do for you today?
Well, I wanted to mention Tremaine McBride. He's definitely competing for that nickel spot, but I actually like him on the outside, too. I mean, anytime I've seen Tremaine McBride, I was pretty impressed. And I remember a game in particular where he was actually following Dez Bryant around on the field, and he was playing some press coverage, and, you know, it was actually effective. And I remember how mad Dez Bryant was that he couldn't get by him. But, you know, he might be a little undersized, but he is physical, and I really have confidence in Tremaine McBride.
Well, I mean, I don't think he's going to play Cromartie or Prince, but I think the fact is that I trust him at the slot. You know, I think he could be a good player. I really do, and I agree with everything you said there, other than the fact that I don't think he could, you know, would start on the corners, but certainly.
Oh yeah, I don't
in.
Want him to start for sure. I just mean that, you know, he's a very valuable reserve on
no
the
question.
Outside.
Well, look what happened last year. Yeah, I mean that's what happened. So
he was missed.
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you, Christian.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Yep. I appreciate it, Christian. Have a great day.
All right, Shakes. You're next up on Big Blue Kickoff Live. And Shakes, you got to get your posse off of my back. They give me a hard time all the time, and I don't know why, because you're such a good guy. Seriously. I mean, I don't get it, but go ahead. What's up?
We love you, B-Dot.
I don't think you know your posse too well, but go ahead.
All right. I wanted to talk about the safeties.
Sure.
Real quick. Now, you know me, P-Dot, and I've been saying this for years, but especially in this offseason, I've been saying the lack of linebackers is going to kill us. It's the reason why we can't have a top defense is because of these linebackers.
Right.
Now, I'm starting to turn around a little bit because I'm looking at our safeties, and I feel like they can compensate for those linebackers as well. So going three safety packages may not be so bad this year.
Well, Shakes,
hold on. I hate that three safety package.
But hold on a second. Don't you think that Kennard is really an uptick at linebacker and he's only going to get better? And JT Thomas, I'd like you to, hold on. I'd like you to see him first because we're seeing a lot of quickness, a lot of speed. He seems to really fly around. Now, again, they're in T-shirts and shorts. So I'm going to withhold judgment on him. I'm only going to say at the moment, let's see. I don't think you should write him off until you at least see him in a game.
Well, they got him starting, so they see something.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah. They went out and they scapped him up, you know, as a free agent. So they must think so. So, Shakes, seriously, before you get down on the linebackers, why don't we watch some preseason games first?
Yeah, I'm waiting to see that.
But he was saying he's actually coming up on these guys. He's changing hard on the linebackers.
JT Thomas. I'm hoping that Jonathan Casillas can show me something, but I just don't trust a JT Thomas that was a backup on the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he couldn't crack the squad. And you know we had this conversation. I'm not going to keep on going through it.
Right.
But you know, I just don't trust this JT Thomas thing.
I understand. But let's just watch.
Yeah, we'll watch. The linebackers, though, I think we'll be fine with the safeties compensating because the Collins and Taylor and Burhey, they all kind of guys that can go in a box.
Right.
But now my situation is with that, who's going to be back there covering? Now, y'all said Bennett Jackson is showing something. That's cool. Josh Gordy, is he doing good back there? Because I need to know who's going to do something coverage-wise as safety.
Well,
I heard Thompson is doing good too, Mikal.
Yeah, Thompson's done some nice things also.
I got to believe that, you know, that's a hard answer. It's a hard answer at this juncture. But I think once the two, three preseason games, that's when we're going to be able to really kind of take a good look at what's going on back there. Until then, it's just they're rotating those guys left and right. They're, you know, they're just – it's hard to tell out here at practice. It really is. Well, I got to see them in the game to make a decision. And you know what? I got to see it in the game with the linebackers too. I agree with you there. I want to see how these guys that they brought in play. I want to see how they fit into Spagnuolo's system and go from there.
I just want to add to you, Shakes, that it's been made very clear to us by the players as well as the coaching staff that defensively the two guys who are calling out most of the signals on defense, it's the safety and the middle linebacker. So, like we asked Beeson the other day, how are you doing with those safeties? Because they're making a lot of checks also from the safety spot, and they're making sure they relay stuff to the corners to make sure that they're getting everything. And what we're hearing so far is that it's working out pretty well. They're happy with the progress of the communication and of the recognition of all of those guys. So that's a good sign, but it's only step one in the process.
Okay. I wanted to also say it's Newhouse problem. I really think it's a huge problem. I think he needs to get out of the starting lineup. And I think that if Long doesn't come, and that's getting more likely by the day that he's not here, I think Long needs to make a decision by next week if he wants to get into a starting lineup wherever he signs. But anyway, if we don't get Long, I think the solution to that is having Flowers left tackle, of course, Pugh, left guard.
Right.
Richburg, center. And then either Mosley, Jerry, or the kid Jones from Canada. either one of those guys step up at that right guard spot and then move Schwartz to right tackle. What you think about that, P-Dot, since you're an offensive line dude?
Well, you know what, Shakes? And I appreciate that. Thank you. Here's what I will tell you, and thank you for the call. Brett Jones has been working as backup center. Now, they do want him to know some guard because versatility on the inside is huge. But right now, they're looking at him as a backup center, and he's doing pretty well. I like what I see so far. You know, because he really is that fire hydrant type guy, the undersized scrapper that Richie Seibert was. I compared him to him because when I saw the cut-ups from the CFL, that's the guy who he reminded me of. And he continues to remind me of Richie Seibert. So I like what I see out of Jones, but I see him as a backup center. I don't see him competing to be a starting guard, which means right now you'd have to probably look at Jerry having the lead on that since he started last year. Maybe if Mosley can maybe fight and try to see if he can wrestle the job away. This is, of course, assuming now you're telling me Newhouse is coming out of the lineup, because then I would say Jeff Schwartz would have to move out to right tackle. I think that's probably the best solution if they had to do something, Jeff.
There's no question. I mean, I don't know what else is there behind that from experience standpoint and a skill set. So I think that you know, if you had to put that situation there, I mean, I got to tip my hat to probably John Jerry being there in the left guard and Schwartz being at right tackle. I mean, that's
right guard for Jerry.
Excuse me, right guard.
Right.
And then at right tackle with Schwartz, if Newhouse, there was something to happen there. So.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to the calls. Rocky from Panama City, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
What's up, Peter?
Hi.
Hi, Rocky.
What's up, Peter?
Not much, my man. How are you?
Big U fan here. Good
thank
to
you.
See you on the show.
Well, thank you.
I just had a couple of questions. Didn't Bennett Jackson start with the first team at safety last practice?
The last two practices, he has seen a lot of reps with the starters. That is absolutely true. And I love what Coach Merritt said, and you can relate to this, Jeff. Coach Merritt said, I want all my guys to believe that they're getting equal shots in the rotation. But here's what I told Bennett Jackson. You know what? You did a good job yesterday. Go out there and do a good job today, because you don't want us to have to rotate again. Prove to us that you're going to hold on to that job and you're not going to give it up and you're not going to give us reason to continue to rotate guys. Just take it.
Yeah.
That's
at every
right?
position. That's at every position.
The mentality you have to have.
There's no question. That is the mentality of the football player that wants to start and wants to be that. And I'll tell you, punter, kicker, you name it. The coaches put you in the position, and they want somebody to take the bull by the horn and say, you guys are not coming. You're not coming here. This is my territory.
Stay
it's
away.
My job.
Stay
and,
away.
And show me something. Now, that has to happen over a course of time, because you got to get a sampling of the play out of these guys. But once
right.
in a while, you're going to understand that if you got four guys that are competing for that spot, somebody's going to rise to the top. And it's going to be because, one, they're smarter, or they don't make mistakes, or they're making plays on the football. They're not missing tackles, because the other bottom two guys, they're doing something wrong. And you'll hear coaches say it all the time. It's most of the time, it's mental errors. Mental errors will kill you. And they're not going to put it back there.
I was out on Cooper Taylor, and I was wanting him to step up this season. Because when he's on the field, I like the way he's playing. I was wondering, is he having trouble – you know, communicating with the Mike linebacker or something?
Well, remember this. Cooper Taylor in the spring, Jeff, because of the injury to Burhe, he had a calf. And because Bennett Jackson, again, coming off microfracture, Cooper Taylor, almost by default, and I'm not being disrespectful,
yeah.
disrespectful to him, he was getting all those starting reps.
Yeah.
And now they're trying to see what the other guys can do more because they're healthy.
Sure.
So they're all getting a chance. Look, here's the thing. Bottom line, Rocky, preseason starts in a week and a half. Okay, they got two practices against the Bengals next week, and then they play that game a week from Friday in Cincinnati. Watch those games carefully, because that's going to be the sampling that's going to tell a lot about who's doing what.
The other sampling is that, you know, you take the – how many safeties are we talking about them keeping? Four?
I can't see more than that. Come on.
So, you know, at one point in time, they're going to have at least probably all three – at least three or four of those guys active every game, and special teams now comes into play. Okay, so, you know, Cooper Taylor – when he was playing before he got hurt, he was playing very well on special teams. He's a gunner out there. He's playing the personal protector.
Yeah, but you know what? The other day, Bennett Jackson was the fullback on the punt team.
There you go. So so those guys that I said, the top two, you know, we know they're going to be playing, and they'll play some special teams, but not a lot. Those other two guys have to prove their worth as playing on special teams and being able to plug in if one of those guys, if something happens to them, if they get hurt or dinged up that they can't go, you know, play. So,
One more question about Taylor. From a 53-man roster standpoint, I was kind of wondering if we keep six linebackers and with Hurstman. And I was thinking, could we sacrifice that roster spot and Taylor play a little sub linebacker and nickel?
I don't think so. I don't see it. But we kind of do this behind the scenes. We're always kind of. We're figuring out. I mean, Paul has it all every day. He updates it. Trust me. I'm not as anal as that, but we're always trying to figure, is there going to be six linebackers? Is there going to be five of this or four of that?
You got a better chance of winning the lottery.
No question. But it does come down to that special teams, and you look at a guy like Herzlick, and you know what he can do on special teams and how valuable he is. And then that position – you look at it and go, okay, do we keep this guy because he plays special teams, or we let him go because we don't want to carry six linebackers, whatever, or we want to carry an extra safety? That's going to come down to what Spagnuolo needs on defense.
Well, what I'm worried about is, like, Darren Sproles coming out the backfield that we got to see twice a year. Which linebacker do we got that's going to cover him, really? I mean, J.T. Thomas or Castillas, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, you go back last year and look at Williams and Paysinger. I mean, those were supposed to be the fastest guys, and they couldn't cover them. So I don't even know. It's a tough situation. It really is.
Well, thank you so much for the call, Rocky. One more call left on Big Blue Kickoff Live. It would be Bill from Phoenix. Hello.
Hello. Hi, Jeff. How you doing?
Good, Bill. How are you?
Very good.
Calling from my hometown there, big guy.
I like to say, you know, I've seen you frustrate teams many times by doing that coffin corner.
Yeah, I love it.
Like, I've seen it once or twice, but sometimes you put them back there five and six times, and it must be totally frustrating for them to start at the five-yard line all the time.
That's why they pay me the big bucks. What's going on, Bill?
My question is this. I know Spags is a great defensive coordinator. But one thing, I know I'm wrong, but I see, like, on face value, when they flip the safeties or make them interchangeable, it would seem that we almost play into the opposition's hands, where we might have a bigger, slower man defending the pass and a smaller guy defending the run. What am I not seeing?
I'm trying to figure out. You talk about just in games that sometimes they'll just switch positions, strong and weak safety. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly.
Well, I think a lot of times, whether Spagnuolo or any defensive coordinator for that matter, it's all about matchups. And I think it's just when they go into the game plan, they figure, you know, this guy has the best opportunity and to match up against this other player. And I think that's what you get most of the time. A lot of times it doesn't work, and sometimes it does. So I think it's just a matter of scheme and matchups that dictate who goes where and when and why.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Nice
You're welcome.
Talking to you.
Yeah, you good too, Bill. Take care.
Thanks so much, Jeff. That'll do it for today's phone calls. A couple of things we want to remind you guys of, though. First of all, again, no practice today, but tonight Jeff and I will have training camp live on MSG. Begins at 7 p.m. Eastern time this evening. So we got some stuff we still want to go through. We didn't get a chance to do with you earlier this morning. We will be on MSG tonight at 6 p.m.
Yeah,
so
we're
looking forward
to
that.
A lot of good stuff on there. Good things from yesterday's practice. And, again, there's no practice today, so we don't have a whole lot to talk about. But trust me, we will fill the hour or whatever it is, half hour that we're on there, trust me. So everybody can tune in for that.
Now, a couple other things. First of all, Training Camp Live is available also on Giants.com as well as your Giants mobile app. So even if you're not home or you're caught in traffic somewhere and somebody else is driving the car, you know, if you're carpooling, you can always watch it on your Giants mobile app.
Or you're walking 5 miles.
There you go, like me.
Not like me.
Anyway, we invite you to tune in and join us for that tonight. Now, also, here's the thing. Tomorrow is the first full padded practice, as we mentioned at the top of the show, but there's a concert going on here at the Meadowlands. So I have been informed Because of safety issues and traffic congestion, they have closed practice to the public tomorrow. So you cannot come out tomorrow to see the first full padded practice. I apologize, folks. That's always a good one to see, but you're not going to be able to come out for tomorrow's practice. And Giants.com will have coverage.
Yeah, and just a heads up, too. I mean, they've got a couple more of those, too, concerts this summer, and that's why you're not going to be able to come to all these Giants practices. So make sure you check the schedule so that because, you know, they can't let you in the gates over there without paying to go to the concert, and you think you're coming to the Giants practice. So make sure you check those schedules.
Now, good news. Full practices will resume on Thursday. There are two this week, Wednesday and Thursday. Guess what? Bonus full pads, Thursday, 2:30, full padded practice. That one is open to the public.
There you go.
Free admission. So come on out for that one. And certainly we invite you to enjoy Giants football. Jeff, it has been cool. We'll see you on MSG at 6 o'clock.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Broken, intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants!